Welcome beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm your host, Andrea Kennedy. Like countless others, Reiki found me when I wasn't even looking, and then it ignited a whole new world of questions. This podcast explores topics of interest for the spiritually curious. Join me for discussions and special guests on subjects such as past lives, crystal healing, spiritual awakening, ascension, energy healing, and more, all to assist and inspire you along your unique soul's journey. This episode is sponsored by Mainstream Reiki, offering live and online Reiki classes and a membership community to help Reiki practitioners succeed and grow in their practice. Find out more at mainstreamreiki.com. Welcome once again to Beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm your host, Andrea Kennedy, and I have with me today Dr. Linda Backman, and I am so thrilled that she is back. She's actually been here on the podcast two previous times, and we'll link those episodes down in the show notes and also in the video description on YouTube. But let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Linda Backman. She is a licensed psychologist and regression therapist. She has been in private practice for 45 years, and since 1993, she's conducted thousands of regression sessions for individuals to access their past and in-between lives. Regression hypnotherapy allows the client to understand their soul mission, their soul progress, soul relationships, and more, so much more. Linda is also a sought-after speaker, an accomplished writer and teacher. And now she can say she is a traveler, which of course she's been a huge traveler through the years, but never before has she been to Egypt until recently. And I got to go along with her for a spiritual journey unlike any other. And we're going to talk about that today and share some personal things with you. So we're really happy that you're here listening or watching. And Linda, I'm so thrilled, as I said, to have you. Thanks so much for being here.
It's a pleasure, Andrea. It's fun to be back with you after traveling home, both of us, about a month ago from Egypt.
Yeah, how about that? You have said that it's been on your bucket list. How long have you wanted to go to Egypt? Can you describe a little bit what that inkling has been?
Yes, that's a great place to start. So I think, Andrea, it's entered my mind many times over the years, and I've been very fortunate to travel a fair amount in the world in this current lifetime. So I don't know, 2.5-3 years ago, I said to my lovely life partner, my husband Earl, and, you know, he knows me. He knows I'm the one with new ideas. So, well, what do you want to do now, honey? Is kind of what he sometimes says to me. So I said to Earl, we're not getting any younger, which is completely true. And I really want to go to Egypt. And so fortunately, I mean, I don't know what Earl thinks in his head, but he was very much on board. And I truly was not twisting his arm. So he said, okay, fine. Well, what are your thoughts? And so basically, to make, there are lots of long stories in our life, to make sort of a long story short, I said, well, I don't just want to go to Egypt with you. It feels to me like I want us to guide a group, to take a group to Egypt. You know, there are some teachers where taking groups to various places in the world is a regular part of their offering and what they do. We've taken groups before, but it's not a primary part of our work. I know, and Andrea, as I talk to you, it's the classic thing. My guides start talking to me in my head, and they're sometimes interrupting me and saying, now be sure to add this in, or be sure to add that in. And what they said to me a moment ago, and I think this is important for listeners to believe it happens, is I was being guided. I like to think about it, and I can't talk without my hands. It's like my guides just drop something into my brain, and then it's like, I don't know what's been dropped in. So that was, I think, why I was saying, let's go to Egypt. So I said to Earl, okay, I would like for you and me to take a small group to Egypt. But I said, makes no sense to me to just go and hire periodic lecturers. We need to find someone who is steeped in Egyptian ancient civilization and spirituality. And I really want that person to live in Egypt. So I started doing my research. I actually contacted a couple of dear friends who are very respected spiritual authors and teachers and take groups. And so I just kept sleuthing the internet. And I came upon, and obviously Andrea now knows this person quite well because she was the co-leader of the tour. Tracy Ash is a woman raised in the UK. She's been living in Egypt maybe 18 years. She's married to an Egyptian. She is what you would call an Egyptologist. Long ago, she became aware that she had past lives, past knowledge of the development of the early dynasties, of the spirituality of ancient Egypt.
Yeah. I, of course, knew of you from the podcast. You being on the show, had some sessions with you that were really great. I heard about the trip probably from an email, I would guess, that you sent out. I had been to Egypt 25 years before, and I'm not a world traveler. I think that's about all I've ever been. I've been to Egypt. So my little joke is, you know, I don't go many places, but when I do, I go to Egypt. Just go big. But anyway, I had already been there. Having been to Egypt and then not really going to other places, I kind of thought like, well, maybe I shouldn't go to Egypt again because two times there and never even to the UK or, you know, any of these other wonderful places. And I have to say, you know, the guidance again was kind of there. And I thought, well, that would be really neat. And they're going to go to some different places. And this is more of a spiritual thing. And the other one was too, but it was a much larger group, tour group, you know, a little bit more commercial and that kind of thing, even though we got some private entrances in the first one too. But I think for myself, I had a little trouble taking the leap to sign up at first because I thought, is this right? Or am I just going back because I went? So I just wanted to take my time with it. And you know what happened? It just kept coming up in my awareness. And I thought, all right, I'm going to do it. So I signed up and there we found ourselves, right? I remember before we were leaving, we had a couple of Zoom calls with the other people that were going to go. And I did not know one other person that was traveling and no one even in my area of the country. So many people were from the West Coast. I'm just going to skip right to, I think, one of the most incredible parts of this whole trip. And that was the people. These beautiful people that went on the trip with us, they were amazing. The compassion and the friendliness and the openness of all the people that were called to go on that trip, it just couldn't have been any better. Didn't you feel that?
Yes. As people started saying, I want to go, I want to sign up and be part of the community of people that were going. Many of the people I knew well, I had already guided regression with a lot of the people on the trip. As the people that started saying they wanted to go, basically to a person, it was like, oh, that person feels like they fit the trip, and that person feels like they fit. And some of the listeners might be thinking, well, so why go to Egypt? And it's very hard to boil this whole experience down that Andrea and I have just had. Why go? Because the bottom line is we were stepping into the energy of one of the three oldest civilizations on the planet and the most advanced civilization. And I felt strongly that we were working on our own soul's growth, our individual soul's growth, and affecting the advancement needed for humanity. And so that's why we went. But it was just a very compatible and easy group. And I really mean that, to be with. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. And I remember even there was a small group of us talking once on the bus, and we were like, right at the same time we started talking about how great everybody was on the trip. And we were like, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. We just couldn't have asked for a more cohesive group, supportive group, and just lovely. Before we went on one of those Zoom calls, I remember you and Earl inviting us to take time every day and tune in and ask for guidance. What is my purpose about going to Egypt? Or what do I need to know about going to Egypt? And I did that several times. And every time it was one word, boom, and it was up level. That's the word. And it was, you know, after I got that one word about three times, I'm like, come on, guys, can't you give me something else, you know? But it was like, no. And I really went on the trip without having really any expectations about what may happen. That's really my only clue was up level. Well, I find it fascinating that you have traveled so much and it was only a few years, you know, that this whole idea maybe got on your bucket list about Egypt. But were you fascinated with Egypt when you were young?
That's a really good question. Probably everyone listening to your beautiful podcasts are seekers, if we use that term in the broadest sense. So, of course, I too am a seeker. I wouldn't do the kind of work that I do. And some of my knowledge, and maybe everybody realizes this, but it's probably worthy of saying, when I feel like I know something or I understand it, oftentimes it's because I heard it stated repetitively, client to client to client in regression work. The three oldest civilizations on our planet, and everybody, when you think about civilization, I'm not talking about where did, we might say, man or human begin. That's, of course, the continent of Africa and farther south than Egypt. But where were the earliest civilizations where people were building a means of speaking, a means of writing, a means of group community activity and spirituality and all that. So the three oldest civilizations are Mesopotamia, basically where Iran and Iraq come together, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers where they meet, a place in southern Pakistan where the Indus River exists, and then Egypt. But the Egyptian culture is the only culture that advanced as far as it did. You know, have I thought about wanting to go to Egypt my whole life? Probably the answer is no. I do know I've had past lives in Egypt. So I've known for many years what some of those lives were, not who I was as a nameable person, but where I lived and the era of time and some things about each lifetime. I'm convinced now that we've finished this, for me, first trip to Egypt, I'm convinced it was, you know, spirit. And you can see I can't talk without my hands. It was spirit gently pushing me, but letting me, as spirit does, letting me use my free will, and Earl, my husband, use his free will. And then I think we were really guided to meet Tracy Ash and her husband. So let me say just a few things about my co-leaders. So I was one of the co-leaders. I was doing some teaching, but let's just say I didn't comprehend the early teachings of the ancient dynasties of Egypt going back approximately 5,000 years ago. Once I got to know Ash, I learned that she not only in her conscious mind of today, her sort of brain of today, not only has she studied and spent a huge amount of time in these ancient sites, but Tracy had been tapping into past lives since she was a child. Sometimes in our early incarnations, we may or may not be in body affecting something that's developing on Earth. We may be working from the level of higher self, of our higher self, influencing the development of a culture. And so Ash knows that she's done both. I trust my skills to determine if something someone's telling me is valid. Ash is this person. I can see us as a group, Andrea, in one of the ancient sites in the tomb of one of the wives of the pharaohs, Nefertari. And it's amazing how well preserved these locations are. Ash is looking at a wall with figures and hieroglyphics, or what they call a cartouche, symbols within hieroglyphic symbols. And she can define the whole story of this is this pharaoh, and this is his wife, and this is the high priestess, and this is one of the gods or goddesses of the Egyptian wisdom. And here's what's happening in this depiction. Obviously, I don't know any of that. And that's why we partnered up and co-taught. And I had no idea what to expect. And I'll be honest, it was far more and far more extraordinary than I even imagined it would be.
Yeah. Thank you for going there. For myself, I was looking forward to talking to you today. And so earlier I was thinking, you know, before we got on, I was like, I was reflecting back. I find it very odd that for me, that's kind of like a cloud, like I was in a cloud the whole time I was there, a good cloud. But what I mean by that is I'm usually very analytical and tell me A plus B equals C and, you know, very into the details and all of that. And this morning when I reflected back, I realized I was so just kind of going with the flow, just enjoying where we were. And a little part of me is a little sad because I don't remember all the, like, oh, that was in this temple, or that was over in the, you know, all the names and stuff. But I think it was all by design for me, because then it was more about the experience and less about defining, you know, where I was at this particular time. And I tried to take photos of the information. You know, they would have a big sign outside with, you know, a description of where we were. So I tried to do that. But I haven't looked back one time, because I think for me, it was really just about experiencing the whole thing. It wasn't an academic trip for me. It was just an experiential type thing. If we could, maybe could we talk about one of the first places we went? And Ash actually got the key. Do you remember that? We're there, they're excavating on the site. All these people are excavating. And the people there are so lovely. Wouldn't you say the Egyptians? They're so lovely. They're smiling. They're so helpful. I remember they were showing us around. And then another gentleman comes up and he gives Ash the keys. And I thought, oh, she gets the keys. And we left the area where the other tourists were, and we went trekking on our own. And she leads us to this old locked door. We paused there and she talked to us for a few minutes. And then she unlocks the door. And after, I get goosebumps just saying it, right? And this was where the statue of Sekhmet was. And this is where my academic thing falls away. And so I really don't know what to say about this other than, and please fill in the blank for me, because it wasn't a temple, right? I mean, what was that room we went in? Because at one end, there's a large statue standing of Sekhmet and this goddess. And the wall, it was a high ceiling, and there was an opening in the ceiling where the light of day could come through, just a small shaft of light, and all the walls were carved, and there was a platform, like a wooden platform-type floor, but it didn't reach all the way to those stone walls. What did you think of that? And do you remember, what did she call that? Was it a chapel? What was it?
This is beautiful because so many thoughts and memories are being triggered for me in a positive way. I don't know if she called it a chamber.
Oh, yeah. I think maybe that's what it was. Yeah. It was a smallish room, right? It wasn't that big. It was, I don't know, 10 by 18 or something like that. It wasn't very big, but we all got in there, right? Yeah. Then she led us in an energetic sort of exercise. I don't know what we'd call it, like a meditation kind of. It was energy.
Yes.
What was your experience there? Because that was early on the trip. And I'd love to get your take on this. How was that for you?
So before we went on the trip, I mean, probably like a lot of people, my life is busy. And so I hadn't been able, or I hadn't taken time to read about the gods and the goddesses and understand each one and blah, blah, blah. And like you, very much, Andrea, I'm very much a kind of mental, you know, fit the pieces together kind of person. So I hadn't spent time doing that. But in regard to Sekhmet, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks before we left for Egypt, I guided a client, a man in regression. I think this was when I was doing the interview. And he said, and you know, everything happens with purpose, or pretty much everything happens with purpose. He said, I just came back from some group tour to Egypt. He said, we were about to board our Nile cruise. Those cruises are usually boarded in the city of Luxor, where we're talking about this chamber is. And he said, we had about 2 hours left before we had to be on the boat. And so he said, I'd been to the temple of Luxor, but he said, I hadn't been able to go. And there's more than one Sekhmet statue in the temple of Luxor. I said to my friend, do you want to go? It was 2 or 3 blocks away to go to walk to the temple. Do you want to go with me? Because I'm going to see if I can get back into the area and go into the space where this statue of Sekhmet is. Because my client, he felt like he had some intuitive connection to Sekhmet. And so anyway, the client told me this big, long story of how he managed to, you know, he had the time, he went back, he got someone to let him go back into this, it's a huge, expansive area. And he said, I spent a whole hour, he described this phenomenal experience he had had. So I thought, okay. Well, I need to learn more about Sekhmet, is what I said to myself. So then, as you described, Andrea, this is our first day touring in Luxor, Egypt, and we go into this very small chamber, and it was small, and once the door was closed, it was fairly dark. That didn't bother me, but our group really filled up the room. And I only have realized some of this since we've come home, which I think is important to talk about, but every day, like you, Andrea, I was there to experience whatever needed to be experienced. And when we were in that chamber with that fascinating, very, very old statue of Sekhmet, I didn't necessarily feel anything consciously that I remember. Now, I do know that my sister-in-law, who is, you know, I'm the family, probably everyone will chuckle about this because lots of the listeners probably feel this way. I'm the more unusual family member that does the kind of work that I do and believes in the things that I believe in. And many people in my immediate family, my husband's family, know that. And my sister-in-law is spiritual, but not to the degree, we might say, that I am. Well, my sister-in-law later described this phenomenal intuitive experience that she had in that chamber, where she saw a path and where she had this clairvoyant intuitive experience that kind of blew her away. Not in a negative way, but kind of blew her away. I think what happens is those ancient locations that are dedicated to this god or this goddess, or and we can talk more about being in the tomb of Tutankhamun, or, you know, wherever we were, the energy, there's something that you can almost taste, touch, and smell about the energy. And I think that each of us in the group were going to be affected where we were meant to be affected, when we were meant to be affected. And it probably was different for all of us. I will just say, I don't think I realized how much I was affected by the whole trip until I got home.
Right. Well, it's like anybody who offers sessions of any kind for clients, right when that session's done, there can be no real judgment or gauge about what actually happened in the session. You know, it takes that person, it takes them going back into their regular everyday life to feel the contrast, to feel the difference. You know, what does my life feel like to me now? And it's really only then that you get a sense of any shifts and changes, because everything around you is what you're used to and you're different. So that, to me, that's how I look at that. But
it's interesting. You could tell it, this thought just came in. I think about, Andrea, as we grow and evolve and shift over time in our lives, it's like you went to a massage therapist and they used a lotion, an ointment that was somewhat exfoliating. So it has little granular pieces in it, and they're working it slowly into your body. Well, that's the way a trip like this happens, is just, there's these granular, small pieces, and it's the, and this is what I heard in my head as you were talking, it's also the granular experience of the community, of the group of people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, Andrea, if it had been, maybe if it had just been the three of us, you and me and Tracy Ash, you would have gained a lot. I would have gained a lot, probably Ash too, but not the way we gain when we're in the midst of a community of people and you're chatting at breakfast or you're chatting on the bus or you're walking along the Nile as we were able to do where we stayed in Luxor and you're just walking along the river. That's the grist for the mill, so to speak.
You're so right. Yes. Yeah, so right. You know, it's funny because I was looking through my notebook. You know, I took notes and I channeled some things, you know, while we were there. And I had forgotten this. But when I read it today, I went, oh, that's so right. I remember it was early and it may have even been the day that we went to Sekhmet. And in my journal, I had written that I had this sort of aha moment of clarity. And it was this remembrance, very old remembrance, that I went to Egypt to show up for a meeting that I agreed to myself. If that makes any kind of sense, that I had set a meeting with myself to be there. And I had shown up for that. And I thought, whoa. And it wasn't until after I really got home that I realized it was a very, very long time ago. It wasn't about the 25-year ago thing. It was in a past life that some things happened in Egypt. And I said, okay, this is the end of the road for me this time around here. But I'll be back. We'll pick up from there. And I had that sort of epiphany and I went, wow.
I'm sure there is a process that all of us went through, like as you took your time to decide if you wanted to go on the trip, or as I got this hit to plan a trip and find a co-leader and blah, blah, blah. The other thing, Andrea, that I'm reminded of, and this is just so organic. I love how our conversation is just happening as it happens. Earl and I have adult children and children-in-law and grandchildren. And so I knew when we told our son and we told our daughter that we were going to go to Egypt and take a group. And I could feel, they didn't have to say a word. I could feel in their energy like, Mom, Dad, what? You're going to do what? And I could feel, and our daughter admitted this to me after we came home, but I could feel them wanting to say, that's crazy. Is it safe? Should you guys be doing that at your age? I mean, all kinds of particulars, but our children were respectful and they didn't verbalize that to us in advance of us going on the trip, especially with our daughter. I texted her almost every day, just assuring her we were perfectly fine, perfectly safe. You know, we were eating fine. We were in nice hotels and all of that. But the point is, not only, of course, were our children doing their job as adult children of adult parents will do, we're allowed to worry about them, they're allowed to worry about us, but I'm pausing just to listen to my guides. As you and I share, Andrea, about the trip, we're making this real for people who either may decide they want to go to Egypt or may never go to Egypt, but can share in the experience and this granular sandpapering and evolutionary work that we were doing on the trip. It sounds like, Andrea, you did exactly, I think, what I did before the trip began. I just trusted it was going to be what it was going to be. And I mean, yes, of course, we spent a lot of time putting the pieces into place and how many places would we visit each day and putting the plans into place. Spirit, I think, helped me to just trust what needed to happen was what would happen. And I have no doubt now, and I don't think that I'm over glorifying the trip. I have no doubt that almost 100% it was exactly as it needed to be. Served the purpose.
Yeah. Well, you know, our group got back together on Zoom, you know, after the ones who could make it. And to hear them back afterwards and some of the changes that they had noticed, and it was highlighting what you're saying. It was to each person what they needed. Really super special. Hello, it's Andrea. And in addition to being your host here at the podcast, I'm the founder of Mainstream Reiki, where bringing Reiki further into the mainstream is my mission. I offer quality Reiki classes of all levels to students attending live from around the world. And I've built a membership community as well to help Reiki people connect with each other through discussions, events, and Reiki practice. So if you're considering learning Reiki, or you already have, I invite you to visit mainstreamreiki.com to discover your next step in your Reiki journey. Thank you. And now, back to the show. I guess let's just fill in a few little blanks here, and then I'd like to talk about the different levels that I think we engaged with there. But first, I just wanted to say, in general, we would go to these sites. One in particular, you led a past life regression just for the whole group. And I had this vivid experience with that. I know other people did, and, you know, very unexpected. We're sitting in the tomb and here you are leading us. And that was amazing. And going into it, I thought, I don't know if this is going to work because all these people are here. And it was phenomenal. But then Ash would lead different energy type exercises. And I guess we'll call them meditations. There was one where all the lights were out and it was pitch black. Oh, that was really amazing as well. So it was a variety of seeing sights, being in there, some education along the way, and then the energy or the regression, you know, that kind of thing, in a container of lovely, compassionate, spiritual, like-minded people. I mean, it was really amazing. And then, you know, at night, go back to the hotel, kind of visit with other people at dinner or whatever, and then just go process and reflect and have that time to do that. It was really amazing. And just for the listeners, I'll just say, for me personally, it was as though every place we went and engaged with the energy, I had visuals. It was interesting. One of the things I repeatedly saw was DNA strands that were golden in color. And in one, there were these spirals that resembled DNA, and there were hieroglyphics in there instead of the little ladder rungs. It was an incredible. I mean, I couldn't have made this stuff up any better. It was just amazing. You were right. You mentioned the energy. And the word that came to me was just raw. It's like in my normal everyday life, there's an undercurrent of energy and I can decide to engage. There, it was just raw. There was no barrier really between what I was experiencing in any given moment and the energy. It was just readily just right there. Would you have anything to add about that?
Wow, I'm glad you're talking about that. So if my left brain kicks in, which it does a lot of the time, two things come to my mind. One is the ancient sites in Egypt are portals. Mm-hmm. And they're portals. You know, Andrea, I talk about this a lot. So here's Linda or here's Andrea in body. And that means that Linda has a slice of soul that causes her, Linda, to live and breathe. And the same for Andrea. As much as we can as spiritual people, this is what I really guide or suggest people do. We need to be attached consciously and energetically while we're in body. We need to be attached or bonded to our higher self, to our soul energy in the higher realm. I know a lot of people then are going to say, if they could quickly ask us questions, and they'd say, well, Linda, how do I do that? And I would say, just intention. Just put out that intention that if I just use myself, it's like, okay, I'm Linda, I'm in body, I live on the earth, I live in the United States, but I'm going to stay almost like plugging my cord in to my higher self, to my soul self. Well, when we were in Egypt, we're in an energetic space in many of these locations where the portals is probably more open than it is in a lot of places. Plus, Tracy Ash describes herself as a gatekeeper. And it took me a while, as once I met her, to understand what she means. And Tracy Ash is very intuitive. And she assists, you might say, at the soul level to widen the portal in order to aid the ongoing evolution of souls that come into contact with her and to aid the evolution of humanity. So I think some of the experiences that we had, Andrea, in some of these locations, one, it's because of the location. If you went into that chamber with Sekhmet and you were by yourself, you would probably still have had a pretty unique experience. It probably was augmented by the group, by Ash, and all of that. I'm going to insert one quick comment that people might wonder. I know I'm digressing slightly. Why did Ash have the keys? How is it that she was handed the keys to this chamber that had a metal door that closed it from the public? And it's because Tracy Ash is respected in Egypt, and she has relationship with many of the directors of these ancient sites. So that's how that happened. But the experiences that we had were expanded. And, you know, I think that blew a lot of us away. You probably remember, Andrea, that there was one person on our trip, and obviously we're leaving names out, but there was a person on our trip that had been a little bit sick, not dangerously sick, and it wasn't problematic. This person had been coughing. So one day on the trip, as this person was sort of struggling at night with her cough that she felt was the remnants of a cold, she told me that she'd had an image of a rope, I think in the middle of that previous night. And I said to her, if you're comfortable, let me guide you in regression with the group as our community. And I said, because I think this is probably a past life memory that you can release if we can just get at the details. So obviously one afternoon when we had some free time, we found a private space in the hotel. And sure enough, and I never know what will happen. I don't give the client the details of the past life. I simply support them to access those details. This member of our group accessed the details. And as best I know, and I've had some contact with her since, she released it. So there's this ongoing metamorphosis going on when we're in Egypt. You talked about up-leveling. And I just want to say, as we're sharing with whoever's going to listen to our conversation, up-leveling. So Earl and I had never done a hot air balloon ride. And we thought about it many times. And we live actually in a very lovely part of the United States. There are actually hot air balloons that the launch site is half a mile from our house. We've never done it. We always kind of say, oh, you know, $350 for, you know, per person for an hour, or, you know, whatever. So we'd never done it. But I said to Earl, if we're going to Egypt, I don't know how you feel, but I'm going up in the hot air balloon. So the night before, we're getting into bed. We're going to get up at the crack of dawn, as you certainly know, Andrea, in order to get to the balloon launch site in Egypt as the sun is coming up. I said, oh my gosh, I don't want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And oh, this is frustrating. I was sort of doing my release my stress sort of thing. And then, you know, my husband and I agreed we needed to stop talking and go to sleep. And the bottom line is, for me, the balloon ride was one of the amazing pieces of the whole trip. And I think it was something about being up in the air, overlooking these ancient sites we'd already visited. And we knew we could say, oh, there's the tomb that where we were, and there's the this and the that. But it was like something about being elevated into the air over this ancient location, I found basically inexplicable. It was totally amazing.
Yeah. I agree. I have never done a hot air balloon. And it was very odd to me. I had zero fear at all. I was like, yeah, that's going to be kind of scary, you know, before it came along. And then I didn't think of it at all. And it wasn't until after it was all done and I thought, isn't that strange? I had zero fear. I didn't even think about it, which is very surprising. But that, I think, it refers back to that thing I said. I was kind of just in a cloud, just in the flow of everything. And it was remarkable to look down and see those sights like that. And what came to my mind as we were doing that was the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that lived there, that built those temples, the tombs. They never had that perspective. All of those people back then, they didn't have that perspective. And what an honor it was to be able to look down in that immense landscape and just see it from that view. And that's kind of where my mind went. You know, they had to see it from ground level or maybe the hill or whatever, but nothing like we were so fortunate to do. It was just really beautiful, I thought.
So as you're saying that, because I've guided so many clients in regression, I have guided many clients who discover they are souls that don't often incarnate on earth. They are, and this is, I've talked about this in probably both other podcasts with you, Andrea, but those higher selves, and not just interplanetary souls or ET souls, but many of them, when you talk about the people digging the tombs or building these phenomenal structures, you're right. They were working on the ground or on the side of a hill. But I would hazard to say that there were many souls up here, if you will, who did have the vantage point that we had in the hot air balloon. And then I'll just add, we were probably all kind of in a bubble of sorts through the whole trip. I think I was too. But like you, I honestly had not one ounce of fear that morning going up in the balloon. I just didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a whole nother world. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I've loved talking to you, and we're getting towards the end of an hour. I can't believe it. And there's so much more to talk about. But so I mentioned themes, right? And so, you know, I've shared a little bit from my individual perspective because obviously I experience things on that level. But we also spent time and energy exploring more of the collective. This is such an important time on the planet right now. There's so much change, transformation. I mean, we have a lot of chaos right now, of course, but this is such a pivotal time on the planet. And we did touch on that as well in the trip and even our individual roles in that, how we engage with the world. And, you know, we're invited to really embrace and take responsibility for the fact that we're on the planet right now in these times. Ooh, I know, right? I mean, it's a big thing. So individual, then it was our group, but then we addressed humanity and these times. And does anything really stand out to you when I bring that up, you know, with the trip? And yeah, we need to talk, please, about after the trip when we got home, what you noticed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all wrapped together. Many times prior to the trip, as I had gotten to know Ash better and better, and well, one of the places where Ash and I knew that our commitment at a soul level to why we do what we do, where we knew there was distinct overlap, is focusing on the evolutionary needs of humanity and to keep focusing on all people matter, all living things are equal, not to denigrate one group of people against the other and that sort of thing. And so I'm very consciously aware of, yes, I work with individual people and working on their individual, what we might call their soul history or their soul trajectory. But if we don't work in community, whether it's community going to Egypt or the human community, we don't affect change. It was almost like the trip itself from a awareness perspective was like a seesaw between each of us, including me. We're working on our own soul's evolution, but each of us were also working on our own contribution and working as a community of experienced souls to move humanity forward. So, I really believe that I knew from the get-go as we were planning this trip to Egypt that all that was going to be the package we would be working on. But again, we have to do it in that moment by moment, hour by hour, traveling on the bus, going into an ancient site. I mean, I'll just comment briefly on just one experience that we had as a group that I really found so powerful. And that was the evening that we had the private, what's called a private permission visit into the tomb, where, as we easily call this soul King Tut, where King Tut's mummy is. Just for the listeners, it was evening, it was not yet dark. We were sort of walking up a hillside to an entrance where you go down into a tomb, but no one else was around but our group. We had what's called a private visit just for our group. All the vendors were gone, all the tourists were gone, which was, I thought, amazing. And the temperature was not too hot and not too cold. And, you know, just that was an utterly amazing experience. I have a couple of pictures on my phone. We go down into the tomb and we were going to do some spiritual work together as a group, but I had walked over to this glass case where King Tut's mummy is in that glass case. And I was looking into the case, looking at his head, when the director of the whole King Tut tomb area, the person who's completely in charge, came over and said, "Could I have your phone? And could I help you with your photos?" And I said, well, yes, of course. And so he took his phone. Now, maybe he did this for other people. I just didn't notice. He took his own phone and turned the flashlight on and laid it on top of the glass. So it lit up King Tut. And then he took my phone on the other side of the glass and took pictures, two or three, of me staring at King Tut's mummy. So you see the mummy, you see me, and it's all lit up. Powerful photos that I don't even totally understand why they feel so powerful to me. There are just so many pieces that add up to this being, I really think, an extraordinary experience.
I totally agree. And so what are some of the big things that you've noticed since coming home?
I was home about a week and I didn't notice a whole lot. And I've been home almost 4 weeks. And then I started noticing that at times during the day and at times at night, I was feeling, and I'm still somewhat, you know, feeling it to some degree, but I was noticing a lot of intense energy. And it would make me feel just a little bit energetically rattled during the day, or it would affect my sleep at night. And I can talk to my guide in my head, and also my husband can channel our primary guide. So this was explained by our guide, but I can see it in literal changes that have been happening in my life and in my work. And so our guide basically said, you are changed and you have affected the energy of what you're willing to do in regard to your own evolution and the evolution of humanity. And so I see requests that have come to me that are new requests, perhaps for interviews or to give a presentation, very unique regression client experiences going on. I just see literal signs of expansion for me personally and for me in my work.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. Just to offer my takeaway as well. And that was, you know, in hindsight, I would say the trip for me was really about taking a look, reflecting on my work, where I am investing myself, the ways I serve, and really putting it all up for grabs, really. How do I feel about this? How do I feel about that? Would I choose that in the now moment? Am I choosing it because I chose it every day for so long? Is it out of habit? Or, you know, where do my passions really lie? Throughout the trip, that's what I felt was happening, that I was very much looking at everything through a microscope and willing and open to changing, you know, if that's what I decided was in my highest good. And then I got sick at the end of the trip. It wound up to be COVID. And I tell you what, nobody else that I know of got sick. My husband, my son did not get sick once I came home. I didn't even know I had it when I came home. And it was rough there for a while. And I was again reflecting and I thought, what is happening here? Well, I kind of dismantled everything mentally and, you know, and I went there. So wouldn't it make sense that physically I did that too. And so in a way, I've taken stock of everything. And I would say the channeling that I've done since I have been back for my clients, there's an effortlessness to it that I didn't know I could have or could be better. So that was just more effortless. And also I'm just more laid back with everything. And that's wonderful. So there's just an ease there. There's an ease, which has been really nice.
When you say all that, Andrea, and that's just beautiful to hear you say that, we have to agree to show up. And we also, and I'll have to say it took me years to learn to do what I'm about to say, but it took me years to learn to trust that even when I didn't know how something would turn out, but I felt like it was something I just kind of felt pulled, almost like some gentle pulling is pulling me into something that I needed to do, like go to Egypt, that there was purpose and it would turn out to be what it needed to be. And I say this to myself, I say it to clients all the time, trust, trust, trust. If it feels right, it is right. And I'll just add, Earl and I finished the trip. We took 3 days of R&R. We probably told the whole group this, but we went to Cyprus for 4 nights, which is very close to Egypt. And we just knew we needed a little bit of downtime with no schedule before we flew all the way home. So that's what we did. And I think it took us maybe 48 hours, maybe 72 hours. We started talking after the trip was over. We had not considered whether we would guide another group to Egypt or not prior to this. But within 2 to 3 days and some communication back and forth with Ash, we very quickly said, we need to do this again. We need to take another group next year in 2025 to Egypt, because Earl and I were so powerfully struck by the whole experience. So we're actually very much looking forward to February into early March of 2025, going back to Egypt with Tracy, Ash, and her husband, Mohammed, and doing another trip with some changes, with some repeat of what we did and some additional locations.
Wow. Well, I'm sure it's going to be absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely. And that says a lot that you would so quickly opt in, you know, for another trip. That really, I think, says a lot. So as we wrap up, you've got a website, right? And I know it by heart, so I'll just throw it out there. It's ravenheartcenter.com, correct? Ravenheartcenter.com. Now you offer sessions and you have teachings and now this other trip to Egypt. So can our listeners and viewers on YouTube, can they find out all about that at your website?
Yeah, all they need to do is just go to my website. There's information there on the website. They can sign up to get our e-blasts that just come periodically. But yes, there's information there. And I'll just say, and I can't yet say when this book will be out, but I am hard at work on my fourth book that will have new regression material in it, especially about all three types of souls that I teach about. And that will be out sometime in 2025.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. But, you know, your other books are phenomenal as well. So highly recommend. There's a lot of talk out there about souls and soul types. And to me, you're one of the pioneers there, helping educate people and helping seekers learn more about who they truly are. And I think that, wow, the time has never been better to discover more of who we are, our potential. And the more we understand about ourselves, I think the possibilities about what we can do and how we can engage and help transformation happen, all of that just escalates, or I will say up levels, to use that word again. Linda, it's been wonderful to have you back here at the show. And thank you again for being here. And it's been fun to talk about the trip with you. Thanks.
Totally my thrill, my honor. Thank you, Andrea. Keep doing what you're doing. Humanity will gradually, I have to believe, expand and grow.
Yes, yes, I believe it. Thanks.
Thank you.
And from myself and the team here at Beyond the Reiki Gateway, we'd like to say thank you to our listeners for all of your support, including leaving great reviews, becoming BTRG insiders, and sharing this show with your friends and family. Drop us a line at info@beyondthereikigateway.com anytime. Tell us what's on your mind and take great care. Until next time. Thank you for listening. And you can check the show notes or visit the website beyondthereikigateway.com to find out more about the podcast and connect with me. Please keep in mind that views and opinions expressed in the show don't necessarily reflect those of the podcast or anyone affiliated with its production or advertising. This program is presented for your entertainment only, and all information provided is to be utilized at the listener's own discretion. I, along with the BTRG team, hope you enjoy the show as much as we enjoy making it for you. Wishing you highest blessings until we meet again beyond the Reiki Gateway.